Well, I know we have a little bit of cleanup work to do when we are finished here, so I will be brief. Always remember that when a preacher says I will be brief, it doesn't mean a thing. But I will try to be brief. But open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Let me give you a little bit of a review of where we've been. We started out talking about the aseity of God, the God who self-exists, who's self-sufficient, who's self-reliant. All things exist in Him, and all things come from Him. And this God is the God, when He saves us, who draws us into Himself. It's amazing. It's as if He can't get close enough to us. So He draws us into Him. So that in our union in Him, we say, I am in God and God is in me. But I think it's important for us to really understand what does that mean from a practical standpoint. What does it mean that we are in this closest of relationships that we can possibly be with God? And so we need to know how we live. And we talked about Galatians 2:20. Because that's sort of the foundation at the cross of our salvation, the foundation of our life. And so we said this union in God goes all the way back to 2,000 years ago. Our union in Christ comes when we believe in Him and we then are joined to Christ. And all the benefits of that blessing are granted to us. But when He died, we died. And that's a union statement. And we said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. There's two dead people in that statement, the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ. The greater Jesus Christ and the lesser the Apostle Paul. But Paul is saying when he died, I died because that was accomplished. That was an accomplished work for us. And the Apostle Paul is speaking as an example, not the exception. So that truth is true of us. When Christ died for me as a Christian, He died for me. What He did on the cross, He did for me. And then we said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So those are two alive people now. Two dead people in the first phrase, two alive people. I am alive and Christ is living in me. I say, Christ is living in me? Well, that's what the text says. And then the last phrase explains how we live. And the how we live is the lesser, living by faith in the greater. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we live by faith. And by the way, the Apostle Paul is talking about the distinction or what defines us as Christians. And the defining influence of us as Christians is Christ. And when he says in that last phrase, who delivered himself, who loved us and delivered himself up for us, I can tell you the law, which is what the Galatians were falling back upon, the law will never love you. And the law will never deliver itself up for you. It is Christ who does it. The law will point you to Christ. That's the best it can do. It will point you to your sinfulness and your need of the Savior. But the law doesn't love you. And the law doesn't give Himself for you. That's Christ. So the defining influence in our life is Christ. But so we live by faith in Him. So we say, okay, I'm in union with Christ. So how do I live? And that's where Colossians is very helpful. Galatians is also helpful. Ephesians is helpful. It tells us how we live this life. I mean, how do I live if Christ lives in me? So do I sit back and say, well, Christ is going to live in me, so there's not a whole lot for me to do. So I'm just going to wait and see what Christ does in me because He's living in me. Or do we embrace the Christian life and do things knowing that all of the Christian life is to the glory of God and everything is from this aseity God, that all things are granted to us from Him. So what I want to focus on is this, how do we live in union with God, because it's explained to us in the Bible. And I want you to look at these two very familiar passages in Colossians. Colossians 2, verses 5 and 6. And let me read this. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, this is an interesting passage, because the active part of this, what you do, is at the very beginning and at the very ending. And then in the middle, it describes what God does for you in Christ, in view of Christ. So look at this statement. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's explaining something that's happened in the past. You have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. So this is a verse of Scripture that is for Christians. If you're not a Christian, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But this verse is for Christians, those who have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he says, so walk. So keep on walking in Him. I say, okay, well, I'm still looking for the clue as to how I live this Christian life. But he said, so walk in Him. That's almost somewhat similar to the Apostle Paul saying, I live by faith in Him. So now I'm to walk in Him. Okay, I get it. I'm walking in Him. Now, what's interesting is, and you need to see this in this text, rooted, built up, established, and taught are all passives. I'm getting a little technical with you this morning, but it's all passives. And the reason why that's so significant is because those are divine passives. So what's a divine passive? It's a passive in which God is doing this in you. If this was active, it would say, root yourself in Him and build yourself up in Him and be established in the faith in Him and be taught, since you've been taught in Him. But instead of being active like that, it's passive. It is God who is rooting us in Christ. And it really, you should put a be before all of those words. Be rooted. But it's implied in the text, but it's just, I just want you to know, this is what God is doing in you. And I love the picture of the rooting, because the rooting is what you put the roots down in order, a plant puts the roots down in order that it may sustain its life. It gets its life from the soil. It gets its life from the water and the soil and the soil and the minerals in the soil. It derives its life. And what God is saying is, I'm rooting you in Jesus Christ. I know the significance of Christ, though you may not know the significance of Christ in the Christian life, but what I'm doing is I am rooting you in Jesus Christ more and more every day. I'm putting your roots down in Him. You are being rooted. You've had a lot of opportunity for God to take the truth that's been taught to you and use to root you into Jesus Christ. But He knows that without Christ we are nothing. So it is His purpose. It's wonderful to see in this union what Christ is doing for us, what God is doing for us. A lot of times people look at the Christian life as all the things that we do for God. You know, God saved us on the cross, and so, you know, now it's our turn to really live for Him. But the God from whom all things come forth from, it's the origin of all things, He's the origin of the Christian life as well. And He's the one who roots us in Jesus Christ. When I was first saved, I was a little boy. I knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and I knew that He was the Savior. Did I know much more than that? It's hard to learn deep theology from flannel graph. Because I got most of my early knowledge from flannel graph. Because I remember going to all the Sunday school and home Bible classes and all this stuff. And I had a very simple understanding of that. What has happened since that time? Well, I said, well, I've learned a whole lot more. I say, what does the text say has happened to me? The text says that God has rooted me more and more in my life, in the things happening in my life, in the way in which I've read the Word of God, the truth of God has been preached, you hear the Word, and God takes and He says, I want you to be rooted, I want you to get your life and sustenance from Christ. He knows that's the only way we can live. So He roots us. And then there's sort of a mixed metaphor, because now, and then the next statement is, He builds us up in Him. This rooting is sort of depicting where you get your life from, and then it's sort of you're building this Christian life, and you're living more for the Lord, and you're being built up as a Christian as you live. And God says, I'm doing that too. I'm building you up. That's what I do. You're receiving this. It's wonderful. He says, I want you to, since you've received Him, I want you to walk in Him. But let me tell you what all the things that God is doing for you as you are walking in Him. Because this union involves not only what that we depend upon God and we follow Him, we listen to Jesus Christ, we hear Him, we trust Him, we rely upon Him, we depend upon Him, we wait for Him, we rest in Him, we walk in Him. It's not just we're doing this, but it's what God is doing in us as well. The third statement that is made in this passage is a statement about standing, to be established in your faith, being confirmed. You know, one of the things that happens is as we grow, we read more and more of God's Word, and we say, well, I've learned that there's more to Jesus Christ than being the Son of God and my Savior. There's wonderful truths in the Word of God, and God is the one who establishes us in the faith. We don't establish ourselves in the faith. He establishes us in the faith. It's what the text says. And he says, just as you were instructed. And he's looking at the past and he says, all the stuff that you've been taught, as teachers have taught you, that's an instruction, but the teachers are not the one teaching you. This is a divine passive. This is God instructing you. We've heard some wonderful preaching this week. God is the one who teaches us. He opens our eyes to see. He opens our ears to understand. And He's the one who teaches us and gives us more and more of His truth so that we stand having been rooted and built up in Him. All of that is what God is accomplishing in us. Well, I've gone very quickly over that text. But notice the last thing, because that's where it's active again. The active part of this is you've received Him. And you walk in Him, continually walk in Him. And then the last thing is abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's when we are abounding in thanksgiving. You thank God for rooting you in Christ? Have you thanked God for building you up in Him? For establishing you in the faith and instructing you in the truth? Have you thanked God for that? Because that's what He's doing. In this union relationship with God, it would not be possible for us to live the Christian life without His being the aseity, His being the origin and source of all things, and He's at work in our lives. I'm not the same person that I was 10 years ago. Why? Well, because God is at work in us. You know, even in this pandemic and all the things that are taking place in this, never lose sight of the fact that God is using all of the circumstances of life and the Word of God and all the truth to continue to work in us, to perfect us and for us to grow, being rooted and built up and established as we've been taught. That's God's purpose. You say, okay, that's wonderful. But I still don't exactly know what I'm supposed to do. I said, aha. Turn in your Bible over to chapter 3. Now, chapter 3, when I first was reading this, if I read this and just looked at my Bible, I would say, in chapter 2, I'm told how to live. And I would probably say that I'm doing all the rooting and I'm doing all the... I would look at that and say, that's a passage about the present. This is a passage about the future. But really, I want you to see two things in this. There's two parts, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 3 and 4. Let me read this text as well. You'll notice, as I read these texts, everything is in Christ. As you therefore, in verse 6 of previous, as you therefore received Christ Jesus. Now it says, if then you were raised with Christ, two commands are given. Seek, and in verse 2, set your mind. Seek, this is an active command, this is what you're to do. As a part of being in union with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now these are two commands, and they're commanding you to do something. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? If Christ is doing all of this work in me, what is my responsibility? Boom, here it is. The first has to do with seeking. And the word includes the idea of really striving for something. And as you continue to read this passage, you're going to tell you the things. You need to put off these things, and you need to put on these things. There's responsibilities in living the Christian life. So when we are commanded to put on and put off, as it is in this passage, that's telling us specifically things that we are to do in view of the fact that we are in Him. So the Christian life is not a passive life. You might read of all the things, if God is rooting us in Christ, and if He is building us up in Christ, and if God is establishing or causing us to stand in Christ, and He's teaching us, then God's doing the whole of this. I say God is doing the whole of this. But here now we have a passage that says, you are to strive. And that's such an important thing, because you might think, well, if I'm waiting for God to do the work in me, maybe I should wait. Is it God working in me or me doing? And this passage says, if you've been raised up with Christ, and that raised up with Christ may refer to His being raised up in His crucifixion. It's certainly referring to His resurrection, may even refer to a part of His ascension. But if you have been raised up with Christ, strive. Be diligent. Keep seeking those things. And notice the way in which this is stated. Keep seeking those things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You know why Christ is sitting at the right hand of God? Because His work was fully acceptable to God. Christ did not return to heaven as damaged goods because of His atoning work. When He returns to heaven, He returns as a complete and successful Savior. And He comes and He sits at the Father's right hand. He sits as a picture of this finished work that is accomplished. You are to strive to walk in the victory of Christ. You are to strive for what God has already granted to you. The finished work of Jesus Christ. Because this work is finished, you can't add anything to it. That's interesting to think about. You can walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. You can walk in what all that He has accomplished. But it isn't as if this God, the aseity of God, who is the source of all things, has us adding things. I say, well, I've done this for you, God. What do you think of this? And God says, oh, I need one of those. No, God doesn't need one of those. The Christian life is walking in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this whole statement of striving after what Christ is sitting down, because He's accomplished the whole of it for you. Strive to walk in the victory of Christ. And what God does is He pulls out, I love to say this, He loves to pull out our salvation over time. Our justification, our sanctification, and glorification is one truth. God saves us, and we are declared to be righteous in the righteousness of Christ, and he sets us apart unto himself, and he shall glorify us. That's all that he accomplishes. And it's really one grand truth. But God pulls it. He says, this is such a beautiful thing. I want you to see it. So he pulls this thing out over time. And so this Christian life is a life with all the ups and downs in it as we live our life. But it's a finished work. It's complete. We're walking in the victory of Christ. We're walking to secure and obtain what God freely accomplished for us and freely gives to us. And always bear that in mind. But it doesn't take anything away from the striving. We are to strive. We are to be diligent in living the Christian life. When God says put off, we're to put off. When God says to put on, we're to put on. Knowing that God is at work in us. So that's the first thing. Then the second part of this thing that he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now he's telling you what to think about. The first thing, he's telling you what to do. You strive. You do what the Word of God commands you to do. But set your mind on things above. Now he's talking about what you're thinking about. So it's wonderful that when God says, I'm establishing this union with you, he doesn't say, I just live by faith, which is what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians. Or just walk. But he said, I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to tell you what God's doing inside of you, and I'm telling you what you are to do in walking in the victory of Jesus Christ and setting your mind on him. If you want to be discouraged, set your mind on things of this world. Set your mind on the things of this world. You know, I hear what's going on in Afghanistan. I hear about things that are taking place. And I just, sometimes I say, I don't know that I want to listen to the news. It's just too awful. It's just awful. If you set your things on your mind on things of this world and set your mind on not just the news of this world, but on your own life and the things of this world, and you're not thinking about who you really are. What defines my life now is Christ. Why? Because I'm in union with him. That's where I'm going. And that's, well, he speaks of that in this next passage. Notice verses 3 and 4. So we've got striving, we've got concentrating on the things of God. And then he says this, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. For you died. That's a reference. I have been crucified with Christ. For you died, and your life is hidden. Do you realize the Christian life is a hidden life? You say, well, I guess I realized that. I didn't maybe realize it as much, but yeah, sort of. But I can tell you a real easy way of knowing that. Look at me. You say, we are looking at you. What do you think we're looking at? You know, it's like, look at me. You know who I am? I am a child of the King. I am a child again. I have been born again. My entrance into the kingdom is secure. I am a child of God. I am a son of God. I have the inheritance that God is giving to me. That's who I am. And if we lined up on this platform a bunch of people and lined them all up, and half of them were Christians and half of them were not Christians, and I said to you, pick out the Christians. You look at them and you say, kind of hard to tell. I can't really tell at all. And you might say, well, that person's a Christian. They go, no, I'm not. And then you look at the next guy, you go, well, that guy's obviously not a Christian, but he is, or she is. We'd be terrible at that. We said, pick up, you know, you have 25 people over here or 20 people over here, 10 of them are Christians, 10 or not, you're picking them out. You can't tell. Why? Because we are hidden. I've always said, as Christians, it would be really nice if there's some visible sign upon us. And I always said, I always kind of like the idea of a halo. I like that. But I'm good with anything. I mean, I'm good if just like Jesus Christ was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think it would be great if we had opportunity just occasionally to be transfigured, especially when we're witnessing to someone. And we say to them, you know, you need to become a Christian. They say, no, I don't want to become a Christian. I say, well, you're a sinner. You need to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. They say, no. I say, let me show you something. And we have the opportunity. I don't know what it would be like. You'd have to have sort of a way, you know, maybe just a five-second glimpse of glory in us. Maybe you'd have to, you know, touch your ear and touch your nose. Like, you know, if you touch both at the same time, you're glorified. It's like, and you stand in glory. And the person you're talking to, it's the glory of God, so they fall down. And it's just 5 seconds, so I mean, it's you're not going to kill them. But so then they stand. That would just be terrific. We are hidden. The kingdom of God today is hidden. You look at this world and you say, well, is Jesus Christ King of kings and Lord of lords? He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But he was hidden too. I mean, when he came and you looked at Jesus, he looked like everybody else. And he said, I'm the Son of God. He said, it would be, he did this on the Mount of Transfiguration. He went up and, you know, and Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah were aware of Jesus Christ as the Son of God in heaven, but this is the first opportunity they have to see this Jesus, this God-man, glorified in their presence. And it's wonderful when you see Peter, James, and John, they say, let's build houses here. This is where we want to live. This is where we want to live forever. Let's just stay here. So it lets you know what the glory of God is like for the people of God to be in his glorious presence. But Jesus Christ, his glory was hidden. In fact, he's still hidden today because he's in heaven. I mean, everything he accomplished, he's the king. But there's coming a day when he will be revealed. When Jesus Christ is revealed the next time, they're not going to take a little baby and put it in him in a manger. This is God. If you ask me from the Old Testament standpoint, I always love to say this, but if you ask me, when the Messiah is born, what do you think his birth will be like? I'd say, it's going to be amazing. He's born a king. He's a king. So he will be born in maybe a palace or something, and this will be a wonderful presentation that God makes. And if you said, well, no, he's actually going to be born in kind of a stable area of a home, and he'll be put in a feeding trough where animals eat, and then he's just going to live for 30 years as a young man, young boy, in a home, in a poor home. Say, no, that's not what's going to happen. But that's exactly what happened. Because Jesus Christ was hidden. He's still hidden. And the hidden is, just remember that word hidden, because we said in the first part of Colossians, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was a hidden truth. God loves to have secrets. And one of the reasons he loves to have secrets is because he loves to reveal the secrets. And the word hidden refers to a secret of God that he has hidden. And that hidden means, and when it says here that you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, that means two things. It means there's a secret going on, and it means there's a security This is something that God has hidden, what He is going to do, and it will happen. This is Almighty God who is hiding something that He is going to do. And God has seen fit for Christ to be revealed in this way. They took Jesus Christ and they thought that they could put Him on the cross and kill Him and be done with it. When Jesus Christ comes again, there's going to be a great battle. And it doesn't talk in the Bible very much about this battle, because the battle is going to be Jesus Christ in all of His glory coming. And when His glory comes in the face of whatever army is out there that is against Him, it is the glory of God that is going to wipe out the army. It's like taking this army and taking it into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. And to go in there, you would certainly perish. But He comes. He's coming in all of His glory. It's God's unveiling Jesus Christ. That's what happens when He appears. But get this. It says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ." Hidden with Christ. And that hidden with Christ means it was hidden, and it continues to be hidden. So there's a time when our life was hidden with Christ, and it continues to be hidden right up to the present. "Then you also will appear with Him in glory." When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. And I always say, this is a terrific thing. There is, well, I got to show you something. Excuse me, let me answer my phone. No, I'm not answering my phone. I'm looking. I knew you'd think that if I picked my phone. I never use this because I'm afraid that it won't work, and then I'd be up here going, I won't know how to do it. But there's a song. And this is kind of when I was thinking about glory. I thought, and here's this wonderful thing. It's, "Oh, that will be glory for me." You know that song? "Glory for me, glory for me. When in His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory, glory for me." And it's a great, great song, but it's not quite right. Some of the hymns you have to sort of think big picture on. This is one of those hymns. Because he's talking in the hymn, and the writer of this hymn says, "When all of my trials are o'er and I'm safe in the beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me." My mom and dad are in heaven. They are not glorified. They're hidden. They're hidden with Christ. But they're hidden. And I always think, a funeral service would be great. It would be there's another one of those great witnessing things, that when someone dies and they're buried, or they're not buried, but they're in the casket, at the end of the service, we say, "Glory be to God." And this person who is a Christian would be glorified and rise up into heaven. It would make funeral services to be the most wonderful thing yet. You know, instead of taking the body and putting it in the ground, it would just be amazing. We'd say, "You got to come to this funeral service. You aren't going to believe this." Because when he says, "It's glory," this person rises up to glory. But God says, no. When Christ, because we are in union with Jesus Christ, when He is revealed, He is hidden. And when He is revealed, we will be revealed. And God wants us to know, and Jesus wants us to know, that our glory is the glory of God. And our glory is the glory of Jesus Christ. So my folks are in heaven. I think they are sanctified in heaven. But they are waiting this moment. They are beholding the face of Jesus. And that will be glory. But that glory is coming, because when He appears, when God says, "Okay, the hidden is now being made known," then we will be made known. Then you're going to look at me and you're going to say, "He is a child of the King because he's glorified." And if you lined up glorified saints and human saints, you're going to look up there. You'd get it exactly right every time, because we will be revealed in glory. It's not our glory. It's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is saying, "This glory has to be me being revealed in glory, because you're in me." That's where we're headed. That's all that's going to take place as far as we are concerned is the fullness of our salvation is always in the context of Christ. So when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he was raised, we are raised. When he ascended, we ascended. When he sat on the throne, we're sitting upon the throne. And when he comes in glory, we're coming in glory. That's the hope and the expectation we have. So he says, strive and set your minds, concentrate, and never forget where you're going. Never forget what God is doing. This world is a mess. There's a lot of things about this world is a mess. And we look at this world and we say, you know, after all these years of humanity, now is the best as what we can do. You look at this and you say, we're a mess. There's a lot of messy things going on in our world today. And you'd think if we were evolving into some better thing, that we would be a whole lot better than we are now. But our hope is not in this world. And God says, you're hidden right now. We're kind of the motley crew right now. The motley crew. People look at us and they go, you're a Christian? Not much. Not much. We say, oh, I am. I am in God and God is in me. You don't look like God's in you. It's because I'm hidden. I'm hidden. But the day is coming when Jesus Christ will be revealed. And when he is revealed, we have to be revealed because we're in him. And when he is revealed in all his glory, we have to be revealed in all his glory because we are in union with him. It's great truth. So I said this, union in Christ is wonderful truth for us to live out. It's not just a passive truth that we admire. It's a wonderful truth that we admire in the beauty of all that God is accomplishing in us and knowing that we are to strive and to set our minds with the expectation that we know where this is going. We have a great hope. Well, I've got several things about illustrations, but I'm not going to illustrate them anymore. But I just want to give you a last little word. It's interesting that, you know, someone was speaking at school and they were talking about this verse of Scripture. It's in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. But this is about Peter and John in ministry. And they're arrested, put in jail, and then they come and give a testimony before the Sanhedrin. It says, now as they, speaking of the Sanhedrin, observed the confidence of Peter and John, and get this, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling. And they began to recognize them, and this is the statement I love, as having been with Jesus, as having been with Jesus. And I think that's referring to the fact that they recognized him as the disciples of Jesus. But there's a great significance of our being with Jesus Christ so that he is seen in us, having been with Jesus. These are uneducated men. These are men, yet they're so confident. What is going on here? Oh, they have been with Jesus. And when we live the Christian life, we should live the Christian life in great confidence. I don't know where this world is going, but I know where I'm going. And I know where you're going. Because Jesus Christ is coming in glory. And when he comes in glory, oh, that will be glory for me. That's when it's going to be glory for me. That's when it'll be glory for you. So we live this Christian life. We pursue it. We strive for this Christian life. We set our minds upon the things of God. We are confident in what God is doing, and we're confident in the future promises that he set for us. We have a great hope in God. So I hope the message is a family camp, and I hope this message has been an encouragement to you. The Christian life is all its bumps and downs, ups and downs and the bumps. This is your experience in living the Christian life. This is who you are in Christ. You're 100% forgiven. You're 100% righteous. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. What is your hope of glory? Christ in you is the hope of glory. But every day you should get up and say, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I am fully forgiven and I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. That's who I am. Now I'm living my Christian life and experiencing. God says, I want you to see how wonderful this is. And the day will come and we'll be caught up and we will be what God has established and secured us to be. We have a great hope in Jesus Christ. So be confident and be striving and set your mind on the things above, because that's where we're going. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you have accomplished for us in Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that we can look at this great work and say, well, the great hope that I have is in me, not in me. It can't be in me. We might say it's me, but Father, you say, no, it's not you. The great hope that you have is the hope that you have in Christ, in union. Thank you, Father, for establishing this union which can never be broken. Thank you for telling us that we are in Christ forever. And though we may be hidden, we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, when he comes in all of his glory, we shall be in his glory. When he is revealed, we will be revealed. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we don't live the Christian life in doubt. We live the Christian life in great assurance of what you have done for us and what you are doing in our lives even now. And we pray that you will encourage our hearts. We pray that you will strengthen us day by day. And as we look at this world about us crumbling away, we pray that you will show us that your purposes are being built up in us, as we are rooted more and more in Jesus Christ. So we pray that you will continue to guide us, encourage our hearts in Christ Jesus, and accomplish so great a work to the praise and the glory of your name alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.